The ongoing refusal, it seems, of the Parliament arson accused Zandile Mafe, who again this morning refused to go to court. The first time something like this happened, he actually got into the prison van, and he went to the court, where he then refused to leave the holding cells. And he made some demands, kettle, Vaseline, there were other things in there as well, most of which he got, as I understand it. Most of what he demanded was given to him. And the next time, he refused to get out of his pyjamas and put on his going-to-court clothes and was left there, and the matter was postponed. He was due in court again today, and once again, he refused to leave his cell. And you have the extraordinary situation of, this is what is being reported, and it's being reported by several news organizations, that the correctional services official pleaded with him or tried to coax him out of his cell. All right, innocent until proven guilty. It's not as if he is a convicted criminal, but he is somebody against whom very serious charges have been laid, and he is due in court. And again, he says no, and they try to coax him into the van without success. So now the matter has been postponed until the 10th of February for consultations and to ensure that his rights are not infringed upon. William Booth is with us now. What rights of his are being infringed upon when he refuses to leave his cell, William?
Good afternoon, John. Yes, a very good question. Obviously, one has to look at the Constitution and the Criminal Procedure Act, which governs the process in court. And, you know, both indicate that cases must be dealt with in the presence of an accused person and obviously is entitled to have legal representation. Well, that I believe he has. However, the Criminal Procedure Act also says if it becomes impractical, that's the word they use, to continue with the matter as a result of an accused person's behavior, the court can actually order that the proceedings continue in his absence. Now, that can even happen when an accused person is in court and behaves particularly badly, and, he, as a result of his conduct, disrupts the court proceedings. So the court can then order that he be taken down to the cells, and the court can carry on without him in court. So it's similar to what is happening here. So
does the Criminal Procedure Act say anything about whether Correctional Services has the right to physically make him present himself in court? I don't suggest that he be beaten up, but surely you can move somebody firmly, but not in any way which could be constituted an assault on his person, from his cell into the awaiting van, and from there into the holding cells, and from there into the court.
Well, the Criminal Procedure Act doesn't specifically deal with how it should be put in place in practice. But if I can say, there have been many instances where an accused person in court behaves badly, you know, and disrupts the proceedings. So what happens in that instance, the court will order the police who are in court as court orderlies to then remove the person. And, you know, obviously that can be done with some persuasion other than just talking to the person and trying to get him to go, you know, to sort of leave court. So, in essence, yes, I suppose correctional services can use sufficient persuasion, in other words, to get him from the prison to the court. But again, I think everybody these days is very reluctant to go into a situation where they might have to use force to get that person. But in essence, I suppose that can take place. They could handcuff the person and then take him from the cell to the van, which then transports the accused to the court.
This is now the third time where he has refused to appear in court. Once he was in the holding cells, twice he simply refused to leave his cell. So, I mean, at what point does the court decide that this is an uncooperative accused and he has himself abrogated his legal right to be present in court? I mean, it does seem as if they pussyfooting around this for reasons that I don't understand, William.
Well, you're probably correct, but I think the court has to be careful of stepping on the rights of an accused person. Obviously, the public also have rights, and the court must get on with his business and can't delay the court because of the conduct of one accused person. So I think here the court certainly has leant over, backwards to sort of try and ensure that his rights are protected, as it were. And if he doesn't come to court on the next occasion, I would say the court then has the full authority to continue with the matter in his absence. But don't forget, these are pre-trial proceedings.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's not actual trial where evidence is being presented. And, they just deal with certain preliminary issues between the defense and the state. So he doesn't actually have to be in court, in essence. But of course, the law says proceedings must be conducted in an accused person's presence. So my view is if he doesn't, appear on the next occasion, the court would be fully justified in carrying on with the matter without him.
As one of the ironies, or an irony around the situation, is one of Zanele Lemafe's objections is that his trial is taking too long. And I want to look him in the eye and say, my dear man, part of the reason why your trial is taking so long is because you are refusing to attend court proceedings, which means the matter has to be adjourned.
Yes, no, precisely. It sounds like a certain other person's also causing delays in the South African criminal justice system. I don't mention his name at this moment, but I think everybody knows that, you can delay the matter and then say, well, actually, I want the matter to be dealt with. And, the delays are affecting my constitutional rights to speedy trial. But clearly here, it's his own conduct that's causing all of the delay in this case. And I say the court must get to a point where it will say, well, that's it, no further. And if he doesn't come to the trial, the court would be fully entitled to continue. And as I say, he seems to have legal representation and, the lawyer can carry on his absence. It's difficult. How does a lawyer carry on with a case when his client is not in court? I mean, in the middle of cross-examining a witness, you might have to turn to your client and take instructions on a specific point that you didn't realize would come up and then suddenly pops up during the trial. So it's very difficult for a lawyer to conduct proceedings when his client isn't there. And he might come to the point to say, oh, sorry, I'm withdrawing from the case because I can't continue defending a person who's reluctant to come and appear in court.
And then another lawyer has to be briefed and the matter continues even longer. William, I mean, you've been in and out of courtrooms for a couple of decades. Have you ever had anything like this? I mean, not necessarily with one of your clients, but, in the courts that you've been visiting. Have you ever seen anything like this where there has been a repeated refusal by an accused to come into the courtroom?
Certainly not as bad as this. I've been involved in some matters where some accused in court, have behaved in a particular way that the court has said, well, look, you're disrupting the court proceedings here. Please, you must be removed. And then, as I say, the court orderlies are, in those instances, actually kind of take their handcuffs out and lead the person down because he's not allowed to be handcuffed in actual court. So, yes, it has happened. But certainly this seems to be going to the extreme, John. I mean, I've never seen a situation quite as bad as this. The other issue is relating to his state of mind. Clearly, my view, there may be something wrong with him. I don't know. Maybe now they must ask for him to be seen at the prison by the medical staff or psychiatrist, at least come back and say, look, there's nothing wrong with him. And this is just, extreme difficult behavior on his part. It's not as a result of some or other illness or kind of mental deficiency.
Criminal defense lawyer William Booth, thank you very much indeed.